You ever hear a conversation going on? Sometimes you wish you hadn't. Yeah, God's so good. I know the guy here. There you go. I knew it's here somewhere. All right, let's see here. God is awesome. Come on, there we go. Well, I happened to go by and I happened to hear Dudley and Linda. Can you imagine Dudley and Linda's conversation? Yeah, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. I say yes, Lord. Okay. I happened to come up on Dudley and Linda, and I heard Linda tell Dudley, said, Dudley, if you don't stop snoring, I'm going to get up and move. Dudley says, did it upset you that much? She said, not just me, but the entire back section here. Okay, it was pretty cool right to start with anyway. I'm going to burn that book. Yeah, that book's gone. Get your Bible out, the Revelation. Revelation. We're talking about unstable times. How many realize the times we're in right now are so unstable? I don't even know how many. This is part two from last week. Last week we did the first five. We're going to do the second five this week about Jesus on the Isle of Patmos. We live in some very, very, very crazy times. Matter of fact, it's so unstable around. We never know what to believe in or what to hold on to because you think something's got you and it doesn't, or you think something hadn't got you and it has. And so we're going to talk about Jesus today. And we're going to talk about him again. We started it last week and we're going to finish off this week. Stand for the reading of the word. Revelation chapter 1. God is so good. Just this week, the Lord just kept reiterating to me, remember, I am your source. I am your strength. I am your source. I am your strength. I am your source. I am your strength. I heard it. If I heard it one time, I heard it 1,000 times. I am your source. I am your strength. And I heard it so much that I began repeating it. Thank you, Lord, because you are my source and you are my strength. You are my source. You are my strength. You are my source. You are my strength. And I just kept looking to him and again repeating that. You are my source. You are my strength. And so here's John on the Isle of Patmos. And verse 1, or chapter 1, verse 9. And I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation, and the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos. And Patmos literally means my killing. He was left there to die. He was left there actually just to, literally left there to die. Okay, my killing for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. Remember, we talked about it last week. I mean, the spirit on the Lord's day does not mean Sunday. In the spirit of the Lord's day, it means literally the man cannot, according to tradition, the man had his eyes gouged out, according to some traditions. Some of us doesn't, but that's fine. And he could not see. So God brought him into a different level. He brought him to the spirit level, spiritized. I was in the spirit on the Lord's day. Did not mean he was speaking in tongues. It meant he had been brought to another dimension, similar to Paul when Paul was carried into the third heaven. And so he's spiritized. And now he says, I was in the spirit on the Lord's day, meaning he was not only brought up into a different level, different dimension, but now he's brought into a different time. He's brought into the time we're living in now. So here's a man 2,000 years ago. He's now seeing what we're already seeing revealed to us now. Okay, so this is powerful. Powerful stuff. So I'm in the spirit of the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet saying, I'm Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, meaning I was here before all this started. And I'll be here when all this stuff ends. Y'all say that. He was here when it all started. He'll be here when it all ends. That's right. He's our source. He's our source. You're my source. Say it. You're my source, Lord. You're my strength. What thou seest, write in a book and send it to the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus and unto Smyrna and unto Pergamos and unto Thyatira and unto Sardis and unto Philadelphia and unto Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and as I turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with garment down to the foot, and girt with paps with a golden girdle. His hidden hairs were like white as wool and white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet were like fine brass, and as it burned in the furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in its strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he said, and he laid his right hand upon me and said, Fear not, I'm the first and the last. I'm he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore. And amen, and I have the keys of hell and death. Start writing the things that you're seeing right now. Wow. Start writing the things that you're seeing right now. Let's ask the Lord's blessing. Lord, we love you. We praise your name. We thank you for your grace, your mercy. We thank you for all that you do for us, Lord. We thank you, God, that in the middle of all this COVID-19, that you've got this, that you're in total control. There's nothing outside of your authority. There's nothing outside of your hands, Lord, that you can't take care of. Lord, we know, God, that you've already got all this figured out. Lord, it's not taking you by surprise. And when they tried to shut us all in and quarantine us, they could not quarantine the Holy Spirit, because he's moving freely in our midst. I ask you right now, Lord, to touch, to anoint, in the name of Jesus. You're awesome as usual, and you're going to take care of us as usual, because you are our source and you are our strength. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And the church said, amen. You can be seated. On the way down, tell somebody, the past is behind us, the future is ahead of us, God is with us, and nothing and nothing and nothing shall be impossible. Amen? Yes. So we're going to try to go ahead and get through this. And next week, I'm going to do something entirely different. I don't think I've ever preached a sermon like I'm going to be preaching next week. I just think it's going to be entirely different. It's going to be kind of like one-liners, kind of, you know, I don't mean joking one-liner. Henny Youngman made a living off of one-liners. I'm not talking about Henny Youngman one-liners. I'm talking about, I'm just going to take the Word of God, John chapter 1, and I'm just going to break it apart. And as I break it apart, I'm just going to explain it. And when you see it in the way it's going to be explained, it sends chills down my spine every time I see it, every time I read it. And I believe it will for you too. Amen. So today I just want to tell you about Jesus, and we're just going to quickly go past the stuff we did last week just so we can have some continuity. But of course, everybody knows that we live in an unstable time. I mean, unstable time. It's crazy. I every time I think it can't get any crazier, guess what? It does. Every time I think that this is it, this has got to be, it can't get any worse than it's already gotten. Yeah, here it goes. So here's John. John is kind of like, in here is kind of a picture of the church too, because he went about doing good and they called it bad. He was doing good, they called it bad. He was a model citizen, but they charged him as a criminal. He was separated from society, but praise God, God was not separated from him. You know, yesterday, and I'm not trying to get political, and I won't get political. I'm leaving that for the politicians, but I do want to say this. Yesterday with the Supreme Court nominee, whether you think it's good, bad, or ugly, we're not here for that. I just want to say one thing. The litmus test for this new Supreme Court justice is going to bear strongly on her religion. The Constitution says religion should not be brought up when you're put in any office, but her number one thing is going to be her religion. So you tell me that we're not living in that kind of time. Doing good is called bad. Being a model citizen, you're charged as a criminal. Same stuff's happening in the life world that we live in right now. So God's going to reveal the instability of the last days. Now, it's going to be some tough stuff he's revealing. I mean, tough stuff. You think it's tough now? Honestly, I like what Brandon said. If guys can't, you know, if people can't handle it now, what are they going to do when it gets really, really bad? You know, if you walk run with the footman and they wear you, what in the world are you going to do when the horsemen come? What are you going to do when it gets really, really bad? And so here we go. So John's living in this time of uncertainty, and then we're going to read this. I'm going to read it from a different version, okay? Revelation chapter 1, 12 through 18. Then I turned to see the voice that spoke with me, and having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands, and in the midst of the seven lampstands, one like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the feet and girded about with the chest with a golden band. His head and hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were like a flame of fire. His feet were like fine brass as refined in a furnace, and his voice is the sound of many waters. He had in his right hand seven stars. Out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was like the sun shining in its strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. But he laid his right hand on me, saying, "Do not be afraid. I'm the first and the last. And I'm he who lives and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. And I have the keys of hell and death." So now quickly, I just want you to look at this. He said, "I'm the first and the last." And again, this is just a little bit from last week. We really expounded on it last week. Now it's just some points. But every book in the Bible, every book points to Jesus Christ. I can't think of anything in the Bible where you see that it's not talking about Jesus. The Old Testament is the New Testament concealed. The New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. Think about it. I've heard people say, "Well, you don't need the Old Testament." Or I hear them say, "You don't need the New Testament." Or I hear them say, "Oh, he needs the writings of Paul." No, we need the Word of God rightly divided, every bit of it. So again, Old Testament points toward him, and the New Testament reveals him. Anywhere you cut the 66 books, they're going to bleed. So now, all the types and figures speak of him, and they're significant and they're beautiful to consider. So again, I'm just going to run quickly. He's seen as the Lamb and the Lion, a fountain and a rock. He's described as Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God. He's the Living Bread. He's the Living Water. He is altogether a lovely one. Of the many descriptions of Jesus, none are any more concise or even compact as the one that John is getting ready to show us. John's going to show us something that is quite amazing. John is going to show us something that the world has never seen before. So now, in this, he's getting ready to give us 10 descriptions. And these 10 descriptions speak of his deity, his dignity, and his distinction. It speaks of his prominence, his purpose, and his power. So let's just watch what John says. Here's the first five from last week. I'm going to do it quickly. And then after this, we're going to jump into the next five. Okay. He is, first, the resurrected Christ, one like unto the Son of Man. He's supposed to be dead, but he rose again. Praise God. He's a reigning Christ. He's clothed with a garment down to his feet, a royal garment. He's the righteous Christ. His head and hair were white like wool. Let me explain all this last week. He's the revealing Christ because his eyes were like a flame of fire. He's the relentless Christ because his feet were like fine brass as though it was refined in a furnace. So that's last week. This is all on the Isle of Patmos. This is all what John is seeing. Remember, John was a thorn in the flesh to religion. John was a thorn in the flesh to the authorities. John was a thorn in the flesh to the world. And so they tried their best to get rid of him. Remember, they said they tried to boil him with oil, but he would not burn. So then they gouged out his eyes, and they put him on the Isle of Patmos, just trying to get rid of him. And he would be there till he died. But even there, God is still speaking to him, which tells me something. No matter how you feel today, no matter what you're going through, no matter how bad, how tough it seems, God is still speaking. God is still in control. God has never left the throne. God is always here. He will always be here. When the music stops, he always has a seat. You know why? Because he is the music. Amen? So here we go. Now, not only is those five, but here's the next five. He is the regal Christ. It says in verse 15, his voice was as the sound of many waters. Look at this. He always has and always will be in control. Y'all say that with me. He always has and always will be in control. Say that with me. He always has and always will be in control. The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The glory of God thunders. The Lord is upon many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. Psalm 29, 3 and 4. He's the regulating Christ. It says he had in his right hand seven stars. Of course, the seven stars were the seven churches. Okay? The lampstands were the churches. And the seven stars, again, we're talking about the seven churches and the seven pastors. So he's got the church, he's got the pastors, he's got the whole community in his hand. He is able, again, he is able to hold and to balance everything in his hands. You know, the older I get, you know, I used to think this was great because I was working at Procter & Gamble. And because of the many hats I wore and the many things that I was doing at my job at one time, there was times I just thought to be able to multitask was really an awesome, awesome thing. And I could multitask good, but something I found out when I started going to school, first I found out as I started getting older, it's kind of hard to multitask like I used to could. And then I found out when I went to school that when you multitask, believe this or not, when a person multitasks, I'm not joking, you lose a minimum of 10 points on your IQ. Wow. Wow. So you ever wonder how when you're multitasking, all of a sudden your nerves get kind of, and somebody's asking you something, you're trying to do this for this person, and you're multitasking, you know, and you're wondering why it's grating on your nerves, and all of a sudden now you let things slip through the cracks, and things you wouldn't normally let happen are happening, and things you would normally be under control with is out of control, is because, listen, a minimum of 10 points off your IQ. Some of us can't afford that. I've seen some people, if you took 10 points away, they'd be at a negative. So you got to be careful when you multitask. Okay, but God can multitask. He can balance and hold everything in his hands. For in him we live, we move, we have our beings. Acts 17:28. Remember, he's our source, he's our strength. He's our source, he's our strength. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist. He's the regulating Christ. Now he's the revenging Christ. You know, have you ever wondered sometimes when God tells us not to return evil for evil, but good for evil, we're going to heap fires of coal on their head in doing so many, we're going to burn their conscience. And you wonder, well, God, I don't see the smoking on top of their head. I don't understand because I feel like I'm behind the eight ball when I sit back and do nothing. But see, he says, I got this. How many times has God told you he had it, but you didn't see it? Yeah, he told you he had it. He had it all under control. But that's where you have to trust him. Because out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. Now the sword is his holy word. He's not only coming back to receive his own, but he's going to take vengeance on the enemy. Remember this, he could just come and take us out and leave it like it is. But he's not going to do that. He's going to take us out of the way, and then he's going to show the enemy what it's all about. He's going to reclaim his creation. Right now, his creation has gone crazy. His creation is trying to run itself, and Satan is in the middle of it as hard as he can be. But you know what? When Jesus Christ comes back, when the church is taken out of the way, that's when the enemy is going to try his best to take out Jesus. He's going to find out that he can't do that. I mean, God's going to reclaim his possession. So, he says to the churches, he says, repent or else I will come to you quickly and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. Now I saw heaven open, and behold a white horse, and he who sat on him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he does judge and make war. Revelation 19:11. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, and that with it he should strike the nations, and he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. Revelation 19:15. God has a reckoning day. You may not see it, but I promise you it's going to be here, and he's going to take care of it. You're going to see it on the other side. You may not see it here, but you will see it on the other side. He's also the remarkable Christ. It says his countenance was like the sun shining in its strength. You know, Paul saw the face of Christ and he was blinded. Remember Moses, when he came down off the mountain, he had to put a bag over his head. The light of heaven is Jesus Christ, and he's brighter than any noonday sun. I'm almost through. I told you I'm not going to take as long today. Maybe. It's all up to y'all. And he's the reassuring Christ. The Bible says, and when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. Can you imagine? You're already beat. You're wore out. You're 90-something years old. You're just wore out. You're working for God. Nobody appreciates it. You're on the Isle of Patmos. There's wild beasts trying to rip at you and take you apart. There's serpents there that don't even have to even bite you. The serpents on the Isle of Patmos, all they had to do was brush you. Just brush you, and it would kill you. Can you imagine a snake so deadly, a viper, that all it has to do is brush you, and you're dead? So, you had these vipers, you had these wild beasts, you had these crazy people up there. He's all there. All this going on. And he had done nothing wrong. He had not done a thing wrong. And so now he's looking around with all this going on. He turns around, and when he sees the picture of the living Christ as he truly is now, he falls at his feet as dead. But Christ laid his right hand on him and said, "Do not be afraid. I'm the first and the last. I'm he that lives and was dead. And behold, I'm alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of Hades and death." You see, 60 years earlier, John leaned on Jesus' breast, his beloved disciple. But now he's fallen at his feet as dead. And when he saw him, he said, "You don't have to be afraid." Everybody's going through something right now. Getting ready to end, getting ready to close. Everybody's going through something right now. Here's what I want you to remember. Jesus, talking to his disciples the night that he was going to be betrayed, the night he was going to be beat and later crucified, he knew their world was going to be shattered because what they were expecting God to do, God wasn't doing. I know none of us have ever expected God to do one thing and he did another. He said, "These things have I spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Don't be afraid of the stuff you're seeing coming now. It's coming. I'll be so glad. Number one, I'll be glad when the election's over. I'll be glad when they find the cure for thank you. I couldn't even say the word. Vaccination for COVID-19. I'll be so glad when the violence stops. But right now, I don't see any of that happening. It just gets worse and worse and worse. And you know what? We haven't seen anything yet because once the 7 years kick in, wow, this is minor league. This is little league compared to what's coming. Okay? Little league. I can't even imagine. But this is the message. Do not be afraid. I got this. Do not be afraid. I've got this. Now again, next week, we're going to talk about from John chapter 1. We're going to talk about it. It's going to be different. It's going to be a different sermon than I've ever preached before. But again, right now we've got so much craziness going on. We just need some assurance. And I want us to, when you come next week, I want you to come with open hearts and open minds. And make sure you bring some paper and a pencil. I want you to write some of this stuff down because it's going to help you from here on out from the stuff that's coming. But this is just the start. This is just the beginning of the end. It's not the end. It's the beginning of the end. It's going to get a whole lot worse before it gets better. You say, "Well, thank you for the doom and gloom." I'm not preaching doom and gloom. I'm telling you what the Word of God says. That doesn't mean that we can't prosper and have hope and be blessed in the middle of it, but this instability is going to get worse. And it pays for us to at least know that in the middle of it so we don't have a Pollyanna attitude about everything. I don't want to be Pollyanna. I want to know what's coming, and we're getting ready to talk about what's coming later on after we talk about Jesus. So now, BJ, come on up here, bro. Everybody stand. With every head bowed, every eye closed. Never, ever would I have thought we'd be in a position we're in right now in this world. Last year at this time, we didn't even consider all this. It wasn't even anything to be considered. And now, wow. I just cannot fathom what's going on. But God said, I am the first, I am the last, I'm the beginning, I'm the end. I was here before all this started. I'll be here when all this is gone. You can trust me with your life, with your family, with your faith, because He is our source and He is our strength. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here this morning and the thought of all this stuff really, really, really gets to you, we're going to go deeper. Right now, this is all surface. This is all surface. Just a preliminary to get us started. If I'm talking to you right now and this stuff really, really, really rattles your cage and you know that you and God are not on the best of terms. That either you never came up to the point where you wanted to be, or you were there and now you've gone back. Either way, you know you and God are far apart. With every head bowed, every eye closed. Would you put that hand up just quickly and say, Pastor, I'm not on the best of terms. Bless them, Lord. Bless them, Lord. Bless them. I'm not on the best of terms with God right now. I need to make sure that we got this going. I'm ready to see change in my life. I'm ready to see God do something very special for me. I'm ready to see God produce a revolution in my life. But before He can produce a revolution, you got to have a resolution. And that is, God is my source, He's my strength, He's my salvation. I know without Him, I can do nothing. He's my source, my strength, my salvation. Without Him, I can do nothing. Maybe you're here today and you and God are okay, but you would really like to draw closer because you realize this stuff is coming on at lightning speed. It's happening so fast that it's causing confusion. And I kept wondering how these last days could do what they do, how they could be the way they are, and how people would get confused. I see why, because it's coming so fast. It's happening so fast that we can't even get our heads around what's going on. Things that we used to call bad are called good, and things that are called good are called used to be good or bad, and good people are considered bad people. And it just drives me crazy to see all this. So here you are, you and God. Yeah, you're okay, but you want to be more than okay. You want to step up to the plate, not only to encourage you, but to encourage others. You want to get closer to God and step up to that. Step up to a new anointing. Step up to a greater anointing. Step up to a greater experience with God. With every head bowed, every eye closed. That's you. I want a greater experience with God. I want a closer walk with Him. I'm okay, but I want more. Nobody's looking around. Would you put that hand up? I want more. Bless them, Lord. bless them. I want more. I need more. I can't do it without more. All right, let's all pray together. Lord, I need you more than ever in my life. I need you to expand and explode your spirit within me. I'm ready to do what I can in this last day to make a difference in people's lives. Lord, let it start with me right now in the name of Jesus. And I thank you for it. I dedicate and rededicate my life to you. In the name of Jesus we pray, and the church said, amen. Get ready. How many's ever been to King's Dominion? And you rode those big roller coasters? Yeah. And you think, just about time you think you got your food stable. Just about the time you think your eyeballs are getting back in your head. That final loop-de-loop throws you for a big loop because you weren't expecting this one. And you can't do a thing because you're in there. You're already locked in the seat. If you let go now, you're in trouble. You're like trying to ride the grizzly. I remember riding the grizzly, and we're going way on down, and one of the guys in my church, we're going down, and he goes, "You big baby, watch this," and he holds his hands up. And on the way down, I watched him try to get his hands back down as hard as he could to hold on. He couldn't reach the bar, so you know what the next thing, best thing was? Me. When we got off that thing, I said, what happened to the big man? He said, the big man didn't know that was coming. Okay. Some stuff's coming. This is bad. I've never seen it like this, but this is not this. This is the beginning. The beginning. There's a lot more. It's time to be ready. And I believe that we can know and we can be ready, and God's got this. So, come back next week. We're going to talk about Jesus, and we're going to do John chapter 1, and we're going to do it in a different way than we've ever done it before. And we're going to believe God has got this. And Tuesday night is the last installment on how to talk with people that don't see the same way you see, especially now with the election and stuff. There's a lot of people who don't see things the way you see it. Amen. But it's good that we can think different. It's okay that we can think different. Right? It's okay. That's the biggest thing, is you can just say it's okay that we're not all the same. So, come on in and look for God to do something special. I could listen to him play all day long. I'm sitting here trying to talk to y'all and trying to hear him play at the same time.
All right, really? Well, that's right.
Okay. Everybody put your hand this way. I don't know where my oil's at, so we're just going to... Lord, right now, in the name of Jesus, we trust you. Touch this beautiful woman in this nursing home with this COVID. Lift her up, strengthen her, and anybody else in that nursing home that may have this COVID. We trust you for all that you're going to do. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. 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 All right. Look for God to do something very, 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 very good.
Let us pray.